This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is the morning run with Xiao Ning and Chuang. Now, in about half an hour, we'll be speaking to Ben Sufian, Program Director at Merdeka Center, on the Slim Bar election results. But in the meantime, we are asking you on Twitter, do you think Barisan Nasional's landslide win in the Slim Bar election is reflective of the wider support across the country? Do let us know what you think. Vote on this Twitter. But in the meantime, let's talk about tourism. Because last week, Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin announced that the recovery phase of Malaysia's COVID-19 Movement Control Order, or the RMCO, has been extended to December 31st. And for the moment, tourists will remain barred from entering the country.
Yeah, Muhyiddin said that while Malaysia has been able to successfully control the spread, sporadic outbreaks continue to occur. And this, along with the number of cases increasing globally, means it will take a longer period before Malaysia could be free of the virus. Even a few days before the announcement, Tourism Ministry Dr. Sri Nancy Shukri said that travel bubbles will not be implemented for the time being because many countries are facing a second wave of infections. And her own ministry will be focusing on domestic tourism for now.
But the big question, of course, is will domestic tourism be enough to offset the absence of foreign tourists? So for more on this, we have on the line with us Nigel Wong, Honorary Secretary General of the Malaysian Association of Tour and Travel Agents, otherwise known as MATA. Good morning, Nigel. Now, the RMCO has been extended, like we said, till the 31st of December. Can you tell us what kind of impact this might have on the tourism industry?
Hey, good morning, guys. Nice to be back. Okay, so the RMCO being extended means simply that we don't see any changes happening in the tourism industry apart from what's happening now, currently. So in terms of impact to the tourism industry, all we can say is that it looks like the different stakeholders are going to have to weather this a little bit longer than we initially expected. Now, in that sense, though, we are looking at more people being laid off from jobs simply because the understanding was that towards the end of the year, we should see some improvement in the cross-border policies, and that would enable foreign tourists to come to our shores and our Malaysians flying overseas to do tourism elsewhere. So when businesses have to keep this up, and this currently being the status quo, we are looking at more layoffs, we're looking at potentially more closures or even extended closures for some industry stakeholders, particularly hotels. For travel agents, it simply means that business will remain at virtually zero for most of us, and it's going to be a long journey.
Yes, so Nigel, is there any way that domestic tourism will be able to fill the gap?
Not really, no. If we look at the statistics from last year, we had about 26 million international tourists coming in. And according to reports, that sort of gave us about 86 billion in total tourism receipts. Now, that's a lot of money. And this is not going to happen just on domestic tourism alone. For the simple reason that domestic tourists don't have the same spending habits as foreign tourists, and the patterns of travel, where they stay, what they do, are also very, very different. So while domestic tourism is really good in kickstarting and stimulating the local economy, it's not really going to help the tourism industry very much until borders start to open up. Now, that being said, let's look at just one particular country, our closest neighbor, Singapore, right? Last year alone, we had more than 10 million arrivals from Singapore. And that loss of arrivals, even though Singaporeans do tend to come over on their own, they're a little bit more independent, they're almost like domestic tourists in a way, but they're not. They still spend on hotels, they still spend on services, they still spend a lot more on retail, and the absence of Singaporeans alone is a big impact to most of the tourism industry, especially here on the west coast of Peninsula Malaysia.
So, Nigel, you've painted quite a bleak picture. So, you know, it looks like we probably need additional support from the government. So what kind of support do you think government should extend? I mean, one of the measures they have done is to give this 1,000 tax relief for domestic travel. Is that enough? What else should we do?
Well, the government's doing or propose what they can do, and it's actually not a bad idea to give the 1,000 ringgit tax relief. We do hope, however, that the government will at least double this. Better tax relief is always great for everyone involved, you know, industry and you know, individual travellers. But I think for the moment, what the industry needs is actually a lifeline. So I believe that's in the Panjana program that they have currently running. And of course, the what you mentioned, the $1,000 tax relief. The only thing that we see here is the implementation has to be right. So for example, in terms of the Panjana, a lot of businesses may not qualify, especially the younger tourism businesses or businesses that don't have a certain amount of capital, or they may not have the certain amount of, or be of a certain size. Maybe their audits or their books don't go so far back as some of the other travel agencies, but they are nonetheless just as important, right? The SMEs. So I think the big question here at the moment is, yes, there's the Panjana Fund, but how accessible is this Panjana Fund to the tourism industry at large? Secondly, with regards to the 1,000 tax relief, it's kind of a grey area. So it's nice to say, hey, here's 1,000 ringgit for you to travel. But how do you implement that 1,000 ringgit? What are the criteria that allows you to say, look, I've traveled and I can claim this 1,000 ringgit? So from that perspective, what we're saying is that that 1,000 ringgit has to be given to legitimate tourism operators, right? It shouldn't be, you shouldn't be able to just give that 1,000 ringgit to an unlicensed operator, for example, or an unlicensed hotel. And the reason is very simple, guys. It's the tourism players that are licensed spend a lot of money on advertising, promotion, building infrastructure. And these are the guys who also hire the majority of the tourism workforce. So those controls need to be in place so that it's not just free money given out, but that money actually goes back towards the recovery of the tourism industry by supporting licensed and legitimate tourism operators.
Yeah, Nigel, is there a case to be made for having a bubble, a tourism bubble? And if so, what needs to be done first to implement that? Because we don't want a sudden resurgence of cases again.
Okay, there is a case for a tourism bubble. Of course, everybody's a little bit afraid about what that would mean if we open up borders. And it's not just us, it's the guys in the other country as well. Now, looking at what needs to be done first, I think our country has done what needs to be done already. You know, our controls are very effective. We're quite sharp on the, on the response when the cluster is detected. And so we've done a good job there. Now, if we look at tourism bubbles, I think we have to look at, of course, reciprocal arrangements between two governments or two countries that have similar standards of, mitigation and controls in place. Again, point in case would probably be Singapore, right? So there is a case for a tourism bubble between very, very specific countries. And I think that we need to really, really consider opening up some, you know, very special relationships between different governments, different countries, to enable these controlled environments to work together and let people actually move a little bit more freely between the two countries. So, yeah, in answer to that question, probably one of the immediate cases we could consider is actually our neighbour Singapore.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Nigel Wong, Honorary Secretary General of the Malaysian Association of Tour and Travel Agents, otherwise known as MATA, reminding us that, yes, domestic tourism is helping a little bit, but it's not going far enough in terms of, you know, really helping these the many hotel operators or the travel agents out there who are really losing a lot of income as a result of the lack of zero foreign tourism.
Well, the magic number is 86 billion ringgit, isn't it, from 26 million arrivals, and 10 million of which came from Singapore. You don't expect them to come over from across the causeway and then go and have roti canai, right? they would go to, I don't know, Mandarin Oriental or whatever and spend, I don't know, $300 per meal. So obviously the ticket value of their spend is going to be a quantum leap over the domestic tourists.
Yeah, but for the moment, you know, I mean, for a lot of these operators, they really, really are struggling. Like what Nigel said, layoffs are inevitable because, you know, the Penjana package also comes to an end. Prihatin also comes to an end. So all the current wage subsidies that they're enjoying is not indefinite. It's going to, and after that, the hard realities kind of sinks in, right? Because you're going to look at your books and look at, hey, there's no revenue. What am I going to do? I have no choice now. So painful times ahead. But in the meantime, I guess the point is also, you know, do we then come December really start having to think of a travel bubble? We can't keep on kicking the ball down, you know, the can down the road and say, okay, we're not going to open up. We're not going to open up.
Well, it depends, right? So if you have a country that is as compliant or even more compliant than we are, then obviously Singapore would be the closest neighbor. And they're kind of like the low-hanging fruit with 10 million arrivals pre-COVID. The question then is, would they be comfortable to come here if they themselves are scared of contracting the virus here?
Well, so, our virus numbers are much lower than theirs,
correct, actually. Yeah, but this is the perception that Malaysia is Malaysia, right? That's one thing. The other one is obviously who else would be within that zone? Not many green zones in the
world. I suppose some of our ASEAN neighbours like Thailand and Vietnam who have been very successful at keeping their COVID-19 cases down also. But I think, you know, for tourism to really recover to the levels that we're used to, unfortunately, it's only the vaccine. But up next, we'll be speaking to Mark J. Rozelle of George Mason University on the Republican National Convention. And that's going to be happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned, BFM 89.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.